Finance Committee, brand new organization meeting. The regular meeting at the town hall in Zoom, and is December 21st, 2023 at 7:15. Call to order. First order of business is public participation. Any comment? Public comment?
Any public?
Seeing not.
Can I just say that we're not able to turn on our screens, and I'm not sure why.
Oh.
It's Kristen.
Hang on, Kristen.
Oh,
I can get you squared away. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
So then I'm wondering if there's a setting here that I can or cannot change.
Mr. Moore, in the meantime, this is the clerk. Can you tell me who on the committee is there?
Yeah, I'm going to have them go down and sound off their names.
Okay, thanks.
Soon as I get this little glitch.
I'm not seeing anything that lets me turn on video for everybody. I see recording, breakout rooms, live on Facebook.
Is it the security button, did you say?
Which one is?
On the back.
Third from the left.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Let's go see. Sharing screen is enabled. Start recording, request, remove. I don't see any.
Click on the participants. The participants button down at the bottom.
Yeah, the participants
button.
And then turn on their cameras, maybe? Try to turn on their cameras for them.
Let's see if I can do that. Ask to start video. I can't turn it on, but I can ask you to start your video.
I don't know if CBC wants to. Kristen and John.
My screen is complete. I mean, I see a black screen and not my face.
Do you have your video toggled, Kristen? Because usually, like, if the thing that covers your camera, the privacy screen, sometimes we hit that by accident.
Yeah, everybody's video is turned off. It seems like it's done by default. So I think there's a change in how the meeting.
I'll check and see if it's on my end. Thanks.
Yeah, because I'm looking there, and if somebody, it looks like you guys have to turn your video on, because I can't do it.
So, but everyone can hear, correct?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yep. All right.
So, Kristen, it looks like you turned your video on.
Yeah,
but we're not seeing.
I know. I'm trying here.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's not you. It's here.
And there is nothing that I can do.
No. We'll have to function.
So I'll have to ask about, this. I don't know if they changed the way the meeting is set up to not allow video. But there's nothing that I can do with it.
And Jim will be here shortly, so
we can ask
he can correct that. In the meantime, I would ask that with the member starting at the far right, just state your name for the town clerk.
Sure. Ashley Thielen.
Robert Monroe.
Ross Lally.
Bob Mora.
Amanda Gordon.
Rhea Klein.
And we have no one else. Nope. He's just here as a...
Yeah, we're just missing Christopher.
Correct.
Yep. I'll give Linda the whole board, the name of all the board members.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Rodney's here as a...
Here.
He's just here.
Yeah.
Ex officio member. All right. Since I go back now, public participation. Seeing none, we'll move on to item 3, election of officers. And I would like to nominate Ross to be the chairman.
I'll second it.
Motion.
Amanda.
Amanda seconded. Any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll deem nomination this closed. And I'll ask for a vote. And I'd ask you to please state the names since we're having a communications issue. Amanda, you want to start?
Amanda's aye.
Rhea, aye.
Ashley, aye.
Bob, aye.
And I suppose Ross should say aye.
Bob Moore, aye. Yeah, it's unanimous vote. Exactly. Mr. Chairman, it's yours.
Thank you. So do you want me, I guess I have to continue with elections for officers.
I'd like to nominate Mr. Monroe.
Do I have a second on that?
I'll second.
So we have Bob Mora made the motion. Ashley seconded it. Hearing no other nominations, I will say the nominations are closed. All those in favor, we will just go and do a roll call vote. Amanda?
Aye.
Rhea?
Aye.
Ashley?
Aye.
Bob?
Aye.
Ross? Aye.
Bob Mora, aye.
So the motion passes. We have Ross Lally as the chair and Bob Monroe as the vice chair. So thank you all, and welcome to our new finance committee. And we are going to be all breaking new ground together. So it's going to be a little bit different because everybody's got skin in the game differently this time around. Because we actually have, all of us will vote to approve or not approve a budget. And yet we have representation from town at large, from Board of Ed, and from the Board of Selectmen. So different dynamics this time, because it's not the big old bad finance committee playing bad cop. So again, I'm just saying, it's just something to keep in mind, some new dynamics, and we'll work through it as we move along. But I would like to keep things the way we did it before, from the point of view of all questions are fair game. You know, we can disagree. Let's just, you know, be respectful if we disagree and disagree with the ideas and not, you know, and not the person. So, again, thank you. And we will continue with the, you know, agenda, which we'll now move on to what is listed as approval of minutes. But since the minutes were done by the previous board, which is no longer existing, and this is a new board, and I've asked a few people, and most of the consensus is that we can't really approve them so much as accept them, is what I have heard. So I don't know about, you know, that is what I've heard was the general consensus. So if you guys have want to accept them, I guess we could look at them if there's any questions, but I think I don't know if we could really actually vote on them.
Well, I would yield to those who were there at the meeting to suggest acceptance, because you know what's there. If you feel there should be any changes or corrections, since you were there, we could suggest them. If that's, Mr. Chairman, if that's a fair.
That's fine with me. Do you mean, when you say accept it, do you mean vote on it? Or do you mean is they just okay, you don't see anything out of line?
Correct.
I'm fine with doing that. If there's some corrections or stuff that we want to note, I think we can do that. Should be fairly easy because they were brief meetings. And hopefully everybody remembered their questions from the last meeting so they can ask them again this meeting, because it looks like we've got the folks here this time. So I'm not hearing any comments on them.
I suggest that they reflect basically what was discussed and accept them.
So is that the consensus that we can just, they reflect what we did at the last meeting for those who were there? So we have that consensus. Let's move on to the elected official and town staff reports, starting with the tax collection summary. So let me go and call that up on the screen.
Mr. Chairman, while you're doing that, Jim, may I ask Jim, maybe you can correct the visual on our computer?
There is no setting that prevents participants from using their camera. I just Googled it.
Oh, that's...
I don't think it's on our end.
Yeah, it looks like we're not getting any video feeds for any of the participants. And I didn't know if that was something that we had set up to prevent that as a default and people can do it, because we're not getting any video feeds.
They are.
I presume the folks on the call cannot see anything either, correct?
I can see you guys.
No, we can't
we
see
can,
you.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
So then
we can
just,
see you.
So it's a one way. In that case, I will share, you know, the various documents that we have up. So we can start with the tax collector's report, and let me just go back to Zoom and share that. Okay. So whoever's going to be leading off on the tax collection summary.
Jill there.
Is Jill there?
I am. Jim, do you want to do it or do you want me to? Doesn't matter.
I'm making a note to try to take care of the Zoom issue.
Okay. All right. So our current tax levy is at 100.54% of 98% collection. It is at 95.71% collection of the 90. Well, actually, we did go with 94% for the motor vehicles because in past, when I've looked at the average or what the percentage was of collections, 94 was pretty much the average for motor vehicle collection. So that 95.71 is of 94% collection. We can discuss the supplemental number later, but we haven't collected anything. Those are due January 1st.
Yeah, and I think at the last meeting, Charlie had brought up the fact that there was a trend across the state for motor vehicle tax collection to be down because of the lengthened registration periods. And
If you recall, though, I talked to you about Lori brought in a third party to collect those taxes. Yeah. She's not going with the marshal anymore. She brought in a third party to go after those people so that we would have less of a problem with collecting motor vehicle taxes because of the span of registration.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So, yeah. So Lori's on top of that.
All right.
Prior years, we're doing, well, Lori's doing really good at 124%. And interest is at 84.44%.
Okay, cool. Because that was our question the last time, and you just answered it this time. So do you see any challenges on tax collection? It looks like everything is, is it a fair statement to say things are as planned at this point?
Yes.
Yes.
So no exceptions, nothing that we have to keep an eye on as of now?
Not at all.
Any other questions on tax collection summary? If not, I'm looking around in the room. I don't see anybody with comments, so let's move on to the Board of Education update.
Okay, so I don't know that you have something to look at, do you?
I don't think we do.
No.
Okay, so moving forward, sorry, I will send it to, I'll have Casal send it to Jill and to Ross, okay? But so to let you know, we are currently 27% expended compared to 29% at this time last year. We have actualized $83,357 in savings and salaries, and I'm going to speak about that in a minute, and $67,272 in benefits. So that's a total of $150,629. I do anticipate, unfortunately, that we are going to, I guess, fortunately and unfortunately, have additional savings in at least the salaries category. We have currently two unfilled certified staff positions. We have two unfilled paraprofessional positions. Let me speak about one of the unfilled teaching positions first, if I could, please. So that is a science position at the high school. And unfortunately, our teacher fell ill and the day before school started had to resign. And so, you know, it's the day before school started and we have science classes that we have to meet students' needs for graduation requirements and for college requirements. So our staff, including Joe Maselli, to his credit, moved heaven and earth, reconfigured the whole schedule, reconfigured things. Joe Maselli, this is not, this is to his credit, but this is not not something we're going to duplicate again. Is teaching now two classes in order for students to receive what they need to receive to be able to graduate. This is not a manageable situation, but we knew that we would not find a certified chemistry teacher anywhere at the start of school. So we've actualized the full savings for that person's salary and benefits. And we continue to try to fill the remaining three positions, and we will be filling that position for next year. We're going to have some movement around potentially teachers in that department, but nonetheless, we will be hiring an additional science teacher to fill that opening. So I just wanted to make you aware of that and what the reason for it. And then the other thing I want to make you aware of is the Board of Education approved a $20,000 transfer from personnel benefits to systems management. The reason for this is because CREC's estimate for the number of active adult devices was, I believe, 215. And once Novus completed their audit this fall, we have 370. So this licensing is necessary as it provides the tooling for automated patching for Windows and third-party applications. Also included in that cost is Novus security services for those endpoints, which provides management of specific reporting and protections most commonly requested as requirements for cyber liability insurance. So that's the next thing I'd like to just brief you on, if I could. And Jim, I'm certain, may want to speak to this as well, I don't know. But from the board side, we are very pleased with the work that Novus is doing. By way of an update for everyone in the room, just as a reminder, I had made a suggestion to Jim, and we had agreed like a year and a half ago that we would do an audit of our technology systems, because I had some real concerns over what happened with regards to liability insurance that spring. Novus did an audit. There were a number of findings, which both the Board of Ed and the town have both worked very diligently for the last, I don't even know, 9 months, I guess, to rectify. It's been costly, but it was necessary to keep us protected with regards to cyber liability insurance. There are some other things that are going to be coming up, and I've made the board aware of this, where I'm going to potentially be asking for additional transfers to shore us up with regards to our, I'll call it, cyber liability report card. I don't want to get into any specifics because it just opens us up to the bad guys, I guess. And I will leave it at that. Any questions for me?
No, but I will.
One question.
I'm just going to make an observation. I know that the town is, you know, the Board of Selectmen are doing some similar work as well. And I think it is very timely that we're doing it. And from what I've seen of it, it is definitely in areas that are needed.
100%.
So, yes, Bob Monroe.
Kristen, our compliments to Joe for stepping up to the plate here. It's a tough job to try to do too.
Yeah.
Any prospect at all of filling that job?
No. Part of the problem is, Bob, because science specifically at the secondary level, each science area has its own certification. It's not like being an English teacher where you can have an English certification and teach any grade level. It's very specific.
Yep.
And we reorganized all the classes. So at this point, it doesn't do us any good because then it would mess kids up.
Wow.
Because he's teaching double physics class. We got like 50 kids taking physics.
Amanda, question.
Yeah, just due to my ignorance around the school system, do our students have the opportunity to take chemistry through like CCMC or some other alternative so that they can get chemistry if they want to?
They do. Our seniors had chemistry last year. Our juniors could opt to take it through virtual high school, and we gave our students that option. And we also let them know that if they opted not to take it and went with physics this year, we would be certain that they would have chemistry next year. And we already have, our biology teacher is already gotten a certification in chemistry. So we already know that we have an in-house person certified to do that. So we're working on things.
Thank you.
Great question. Thank you both.
Any other questions for Kristen? Thank you very much, Kristen. We can move on to the town update.
So I think the next sheet you have, Mr. Chairman, is the revenue statement.
Tax collector, let's go on to revenue statement. Yes, there we go.
And that shows us where we are with meeting our expected revenues for the year. And I think that when you look at it, we're actually doing pretty well. So you've got some categories here, like with the general fund revenue and property taxes. You know, we're still shy a fair amount of money. We're doing very well. The place where we're still waiting for most of the money is from the state of Connecticut education grants, ECS, and adult education grants.
Amanda, question.
This is going to seem a little out of left field, but on social media, the few thousand dollars we get for NIPS came up.
I have answered that question so many times.
I'm sorry. I didn't know the answer.
I'm happy to answer it.
Where that revenue goes on.
I don't know that the revenue it probably goes into the general fund revenue.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. It goes into liability because there's very specific things we have to spend that.
Right. There are only certain things that we can use it on.
Right.
So last year in Bob Morick will probably echo this, but last year when the Board of Selectmen did the budget, we were looking for places to cut the budget. Mm-hmm. One of the places that we cut the budget was in street sweeping, which is about $13,000, as I recall. And at the time, we had about $12,000 in NIP tax revenue. And so we have used those funds to offset the cost of street sweeping, which is an appropriate use of those funds. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is generating so much interest, but
I've been... There's a story on NPR.
Okay.
Potentially. Just a transparency thing and people just don't understand.
Yeah, I've been asked that question so many times.
Yeah. I think it more was also generated, not necessarily for wanting to know where the money was, but just kind of shocked at the number of thrown away on the side of the street.
So let me, I will tell you that I was shocked by how much money we were getting as a small town in revenue from that NIP tax.
Yeah.
And so we started asking questions, and one of our resident troopers, we had an unfortunate incident at a couple of our package stores where they were broken in.
Yeah.
But the resident trooper and I had been having a conversation about this NIP tax fund. And so he did some impromptu research when he was doing his investigations. Each of our three package stores sells approximately 600 of those a day.
Wow. And they all wind up on the
street. That is a staggering number.
I get the report of how many are sold, and I was shocked. I was shocked.
I would never have thought.
600 per day.
You should see what New Haven or Hartford.
I can't imagine.
The numbers staggering.
Right. Unbelievable.
So the revenue is how much, Ronnie, you said?
Well, last year when I don't know if Jill has the number right now, but
I don't.
Last year when we looked at this, when we were building the budget,
yeah,
we had about $12,000 that we had already collected.
Okay.
Correct. I think we recently got $6,000 more. And that's only one. We'll get another check later on, too.
Yep. What was the comment on the 10 cents that went?
It's 10 cents a nipper they charge.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's not refundable.
Okay.
Well, it's not.
It's not refundable. No, because it goes to us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know that either. Good question.
Hey, but comment? Can I jump in here?
Do you mind? Rodney?
So on that, on this interest category under the other town revenue,
yep,
that, that seems to throw a big skew into the whole monkey works. 1,730%.
He's taking your job.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a good thing, Rodney.
Well, I don't know. It's, that's got to throw any percentages out of whack.
In a good way, though, Rodney. In
it's
a good way.
Good way. That's a positive number. It's not red.
Bob, Monroe.
Yeah. The number for November was lower than I anticipated. The calculations that I did were all in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was guessing $300,000.
Yeah.
So it looks like because of it diminished so much this past month, that we're going to fall short of that $300,000 prediction. But I still don't know. But still, nevertheless, we have one more month at least where there's still a balance there. I don't know what that'll be, 5,000 or something. I have no idea.
Okay.
But
yeah. Amanda?
So for folks that may not have been here, should we fill them in?
Yes, I was going to do that. If you you can go for it if you want. I was going to do that as well.
So the interest of $15,000, the board last year budgeted that revenue based on the prior year's interest. And in between that, there was a renegotiation of the interest rates on our bank accounts, which has resulted in a significantly higher revenue, which is good. But at the point that we budgeted for this year, we weren't certain what that was going to look like, which is why we're seeing such a discrepancy between the budget and what we actually got.
And so that also brings up the good point for this group to continue that process of always looking for ways to enhance revenue. And that was one of them. So again, keep your gut, you know, just be open to looking. I want to thank Bob for having us really push, you know, with the banks that we do business with.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
And if I may, because we're on the selectmen's board with that, it took some several discussions.
That's Bob Mora speaking. I thank Bob Monroe. Sorry. Bob Mora is now addressing it from the selectmen's point of view.
That we it took a few go arounds with it, but when it was said and done, the bank became quite cooperative and really set up a system that made a whole lot of sense for both parties. And like you say, this is something you have to look at on an annual basis. Things change. Right now, who knows where the feds are going, but I doubt they're going up anymore. But
yeah,
we're probably at, we may be at the best we're going to be for a while.
Yeah, we'll go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, Bob Monroe.
Yeah, question for Bob.
Bob is asking Bob.
Yes.
That'd be cute. Thank you. I would like to see, can I see the document that, did we actually get something from the bank that tells us how they're going to calculate
it? Nice to be able to recalculate it, to your point. So that you're not just doing head math, you want to be able to read it.
Yeah. This was all guesswork on my part.
That's a Jill's category.
Yeah.
There's an agreement.
Right. We do have a written agreement. Yes.
Is that something we could either see or get a summary of, is I think is the question. Because most of it, we're kind of guesstimating.
Right. Yeah. I like to know.
I have bank statements that have the average daily balance and what the percentage is. But I did sign a document, and I told you that any changes to the bank, with the bank, I have to sign off on. I signed a document, and every month the interest rate is on it on the bank statements with the average daily balance.
So maybe that would be something good for this committee to look at as part of the monthly meeting.
Yeah. No offense attending there, Jill. Just want to find out how it's calculated.
Yeah.
Okay.
I make these guesses.
What
I like to make, I like to make them as accurate as I can.
Yeah. I don't believe that the document will say how it's calculated. It's anything over a dollar amount. I don't know that this bank statement, it tells you the average. I would assume it's calculated on the average daily balance.
Right, but
we're average monthly balance, I should say.
I can find out the bank.
Because the money moves in and out every day. It's in and out, in and out, in and out.
We understand that, Jill, but mostly lots of banks will base what they have an underlying some index that they're using to calculate.
You just call them
and so that's what we're just curious of, you know, which index it's based on, you know, their interest rates and so forth. Again, it's not faulting you or the Board of Selectmen. It's just wanting to better understand what, you know, how those things work behind the scenes.
It's, you know, quite frankly, it's a simple thing to do. This bank has been very cooperative with it. Just ask them. Could you send us something that explains, for this, we have a new committee that explains how this number is calculated.
Okay, so who would take that on as a task?
Is that something you could do, Bob or Jill? Could one of you just do that for us?
We'll take care of it.
Yeah. Jim, you'll take care of that?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I think you should be part of the monthly meetings.
Yeah, because it's a big part of revenue at this point.
Yeah, and it's nice. And I think Bob pointed out, it's not like something that we can depend upon, you know, because it's going to change all of that. So I would like to have an idea of how it gets calculated so that I can address this in an educated way.
In the next few months, we're going to have to use a number as a filler for this. And that would help us do that, because just as we were talking about, I think interest rates have peaked because inflation is going down and they will either stay the same or go down over the next year. So we need to get an idea of, if they are going to go down, what would be a prudent number to put in here? Right. So it's not just a swag like we've done in the past.
Yep. So I would just like to congratulate whoever implemented that. That's the equivalent to taxes on probably 150 houses.
Yep.
That was a joint effort all the way around.
Yeah.
Started from the finance board and went to us. And it worked out well.
Yes, Rhea.
I just have a question. On the minutes from the last meeting, there was something I couldn't, a number four, it's tax collection summary. So it says that some businesses won't claim all vehicles they own, so the town won't receive the taxes for motor vehicle, personal property, and we will look at that collection.
I think they were going to, I think Charlie had mentioned there was some distinction that, like, you know, there's going to be some tax on business vehicles of one kind or another. And I'm not sure the details of it. Something he said the state was considering doing, and that they're might be an opportunity for businesses just to not mention that they have, you know, what category vehicles are in and how they would be taxed. So, and that might have an effect on revenue. And again, this is like, we wanted to look ahead at what is the state doing that will, you know, could have unintended or intended consequences on our budget.
Oh, so that would be as a result of
something the state did, not something that we as a town did.
Or may do, because their legislative session is coming up and God knows what comes out of that.
Yeah. So that was part of just the look ahead and just to be aware of things like that.
And where does that fall? That kind of, where does that fall in terms of the motor vehicle? So we're 95%.
Of
94.
This is what we usually budgeted to get the 94. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Thank you.
No, good question. Just feel free to ask, because you're a newbie. Sometimes the other thing too is we take things for granted because we've been doing this and we can miss something. So we need the new people to ask those questions. Any other questions under town update? Jim, anything we need to look out for?
So the only thing that we are flagging at the moment, if you look at the next page, which is the budget, the current status of the budget, the only thing that we are flagging right now is waste collection. We're a little concerned that we may have to move money into that category. So we're watching that one very carefully. But other than that, everything is very much on track.
Well, I think the only thing I would mention is that the town is probably going to receive that grant from the Secretary of State for voting. hourly voting. I think it's $10,500. I know that we put in a request for that.
Oh boy.
So it's not a big amount of money, but it is something new, just the fact that we are something that the state made available.
Mm-hmm. Well, compared to the ROV budget, it's pretty significant.
Yes.
Yeah, it's something like 20%, as I recall.
It's small compared to the town overall, but it's good for the budget.
Absolutely. And the grant has gone in.
Yes.
However, to that point, last year we didn't increase the budget as a result of early voting because we had no idea what it was going to look like. No. So.
And now we do. They did send out the statute got approved.
Right.
And the Secretary of State's office did send out a draft procedures manual for the registrars. So Bernice and Sandy are currently putting together their proposed budget for the coming year. So I can't talk to it because we haven't firmed it up yet. But it's something that if you feel it's going to be an increase of it, something you guys are interested in, you know, we can present to it because it's going to be a change up because it's quite a substantial amount of extra days that are required.
A lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of man hours.
Yeah. I'm going to say, just to give you an example, the Secretary of State, the manual recommends 4 or 5 people be present for the 14 days before the general election that early voting occurs. And you'll look at it and like an average pay for that is 16 or 17 bucks an hour, something in that range. And so that's a huge increase because you do that at the general election. You have, I think it's 10 days before the state primaries and we have 4 days before the presidential preference primary. So just when you see that as a line item in the new budget, there's a reason for it. That's out of our control.
I do think it would be helpful to have a presentation specifically on that so that it's on record for the public to understand it.
It's a big change. So if you want to do that, we can talk about when we get there to have either Bernice or Sandy, you know, present to that.
And I believe Mr. Monroe had a question.
Yes, Bob.
I do. For you, Jim. Well, you got a report card from the waste collection people, waste management, about our recycling. Are we still doing, have we improved it all? Or?
I don't know that we've improved, but we haven't been penalized. You know, so we're at the mercy of a lot of things with waste collection. You know, we never know what our tonnage is going to be, although we have an average that we've figured out, and that's what we based the budget on was an average.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that fluctuates up and down both with household waste collection and bulky waste. You know, collection, and we pay for that disposal by the ton, by weight. And then the other thing that affects us tremendously is the commodities market, right? So our recyclables like plastic and metal and glass, cardboard, those commodities fluctuate in value up and down all the time. And the trend has been down. We're not, you know, even if we were doing amazingly as a town in recycling, right now, you know, there's not much of an offset for those recycling
rewards. For the
there's just not much there currently.
And your biggest weight factor is paperweight, in whether it's cardboard, packaging, and periodical and whatever. That's the biggest weight factor there, and that's the one that's not returning squat. Yeah.
Oh, I know, because nobody's interested in recycling anything at the moment.
Exactly.
And I don't mean residents. The companies are not interested in taking it in for recycling.
Well, cardboard is the easiest one to do it. What's that?
Isn't cardboard the easiest thing to recycle?
It's one of the easiest things to recycle, yes. But there's a glut of it. That's part of the problem. You know, we've changed our, you know, as a society, we've changed our habits, right? How many of us spent a lot of time in the store for, you know, shopping for holidays? You know,
now you be careful, you'll get run over by a delivery truck,
right?
No, it's scary. It's
not one knocks you down, the other runs you over.
It's scary. I live by myself and I fill that recycle bin every 2 weeks, and I'm lucky if I put out my garbage, once a month, if that much.
Yeah.
It's just scary with the amount of unreusable materials that as a society we use.
So a couple of things are actually happening on that front. So I asked the Conservation Commission to work with the library staff, and they've sort of started, it's a slow start, and I've asked that, that they look at, biodegradable waste, banana peels and apple cores and things like that, and look at that to see if there is a way that we can implement a successful program, because that would take that stuff out of the waste stream. And I don't know if any of you have seen the Green Dome on Route 44 in Coventry. That's actually an anaerobic digester.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right. And they're actually using that to take care of cow manure at this point. Right. But they also have some capacity to take that kind of food waste.
Ooh, wow.
That'd be nice.
So there's some of that that's happening in the region.
Yeah, like compost.
But also the other thing that's happened, and probably the only one at this table that has any history on this, is the Capital Region Council of Governments has recently re-energized CSWA, which is all about garbage and trash collection. And that group is meeting. I sit on the board of directors for CSWA as well as just a regular member. And we are trying to look at all of these things as initiatives. We're not the only town that's seeing these problems. Every municipality is in the same boat with regard to, waste collection and disposal. And so we are looking at trying to find some regional solutions. Although we've signed some pretty decent long-term contracts based on what was going on out there in the world. When we combine together as a region, we may be able to do better. And so, these are the things that we work on and look at all the time.
Yes, just ideal. Well, like, right. Contact the Restaurant Association and get them to cut down on the portions of it. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old, but boy, there's always plenty of stuff left on my plate.
Yeah. The other thing I will mention too is there's a big move afoot of trying to make the manufacturers of items responsible for some of the costs of the disposal of their packaging.
Right.
Yep.
And so I think what we're going to see over a period of time is we're going to see things come through to us with minimalized packaging.
As a society, we have not been able to solve this problem.
No.
We come up with a better type of packaging that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the brain power to figure it out makes you work on it.
Yeah, it is not our fuel garbage side that's the issue. It's our recyclables.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions under town update? I just don't have anything under other that I'm aware of. So then
Ross,
we can.
Ross, wait. I wanted to do the supplemental.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Jill.
Nope, that's okay. And it's not. It's in your packets, but I didn't get it in time to put it
on the screen.
This, yes.
Okay.
So if, actually, hold on 1 second. So the grant list for the supplemental is $6,588,484, which calculates to at 100% collection, would be $213,664.78. But again, we went with 94% for regular motor vehicles, and I would suggest doing what we're looking at the same. But we're looking pretty good though, I think, because what did we put in? Let me look. We put in 195,000. So I'm really thinking that we'll make that 195,000. We'll collect that.
Supplemental.
Correct. If you go up, Ross, to the beginning of that. So we put in 195. I'm comfortable with that. I think we'll collect that. Especially with Lori having someone as a third party to help us with the collections.
Any questions for Jill on the supplemental of grantless supplemental? Okay, then we can move on to new business and take a look at our meeting dates. Let me go and turn that. Meeting dates for 2024 for the Finance Committee. And these are our regular meeting dates. This should look familiar to some folks who were at the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption as presented.
Second.
So we had a motion by Bob Moore, seconded by Bob Monroe. Discussion. This will be at the, you know, these days at the same time, so 7:15. Any discussion?
Just so you know, the January meeting will have to be a special meeting because we didn't approve it within 30 days.
Okay. Which means we can't have other on the agenda.
Yeah, so we'd have to be very specific about what goes on the agenda in advance of posting it.
Right.
So if there's something out of the ordinary we need to discuss, it's got to get on there before.
Correct.
I have a process question. So in the past, right, we had the Board of Selectmen come and present to the Board of Finance, and the Board of Ed come and present to the Board of Finance on their budgets. Now that it's a Finance Committee with members from each of those boards on it, are we going to have the same process?
That's a good question, but let's go finish up this motion first and then see where we can. Yeah. No, I think it's a very good question because that's why I brought it up at the beginning. It's new dynamics and everything.
The meeting schedule. Yes.
Yeah.
When would they do that?
Yeah. So actually,
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Question.
This is the clerk.
Yes.
So you won't be able to approve the schedule as presented because you're going to have to take the January meeting off that because they're all regular meeting dates.
That is a good. Well, does it say? It doesn't say regular.
But that's what you're presenting to the town clerk are your regular meeting dates.
Okay, that is a good point. Thank you.
And it's just a draft, so it will be changed and provided to everyone.
And just a suggestion that I made to the Board of Selectmen at their meeting when they did theirs, because they ran into the same problem. They added the January 2025 meeting date to the schedule so that in case this happens next year, it will be on the schedule and you won't have to have a special meeting.
She's saying go out one more month.
Go out another month?
To 2025.
Well, we could do that. So what we could do on this one then,
let me look it up.
Is let's modify, I'm hearing a thing to modify the Thursday, January 18th meeting to say special meeting after it.
Correct.
And then a question, and then also the addition of a December 2025 meeting.
January,
2025 meeting.
It would be the 16th.
So we would add a January 16, 2025.
I shall amend my motion.
So Bob Mora has amended his motion to reflect the marking of Thursday, January 18, 2024 as a special meeting and the addition of Thursday, January 16, 2025 to the schedule. So I guess we need Mr. Monroe to
second
that. What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we do have that. No. It's on the floor. Yes.
Do we have to put that they will be hybrid, offered as hybrid now, or can we make that change in advance of the meetings? Because right now it just says they will be held at the town hall, so they're in-person meetings. But we have always had a hybrid option, so I didn't know if we needed to do that now or could change them.
Oh, well, I can change that, but that's just that they will, that you can go to the town hall, but I can change it if you want me to put it.
I didn't make that part of my motion, so yeah. we can deal with separately.
Yeah. Because you can change all of the schedule in advance with proper notice. You can move or change the regular, you know, regular meeting dates. So any further discussion on the amended motion? Seeing none and no hands raised on the screens, then all those in favor, let's go around the room. Amanda.
Aye.
Rhea.
Aye.
Ashley.
Aye.
Bob.
Aye.
Monroe. Ross. Aye.
Bob. Maura. Aye.
Then the motion passes unanimously by the Finance Committee members present. Then we can move on to the dates for the CAPA Committee, because that is us as well participating in that.
Okay. I'm going to have to modify that one too.
So this was just dates that Jim had suggested, but it's totally up to you. Just suggest the dates.
But we have to be done by the end of January.
There isn't very much leeway.
Right. So I'll move that we have set our CAPA meeting as follows: a special meeting on Tuesday, January 9th at 6:30 at, do we have a place? Do we have a town hall?
I'm not sure.
To be announced, location to be announced. And the second meeting, Thursday, January 25th, 6:30, location to be announced.
Do I have a second on that?
Yeah.
Or do we have a motion? You made a motion.
I made a motion.
So then we need a second, then we can have discussion.
Second.
So Bob Moore made the motion, Bob Monroe seconded it. Discussion.
Rhea and I have a conflict on the 25th.
25th?
I believe.
That's a Thursday.
I think that's the DTC.
Yes.
Meeting.
I think it is the fourth. No, we're in both conflicts.
Well, that's right, because we have the RTC at the same time.
We both on the tonight, though. This is really a pain.
Ours is on the 25th and yours on the 9th?
All of a sudden, we're getting, we're both, I mean, both dates are conflicting dates. So
I can do it without you.
Well, I know that, but let's try and make it so that
The way we're organized now and the fact that we're doing things new, it would be good if we could work out a way for us all, to, as many of us, to be here as possible.
Can we do it a little earlier?
It takes a good,
hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, our meeting started at 7:30.
Same so here
as the Republican one, same time.
So we could do it at 5 or 5:30.
At 5 or 5:30, if the member, I mean, that, we have done a number of meetings like that. If it's,
I can do it. It's like I'm retired. It's not a problem. I'm more concerned about the people who are not. Or,
does that work? Can you do that?
I think so.
Let's say 5.
Same day as we do it at 5.
5 o'clock.
5?
Yeah.
And the commander said 5:30.
It was 5:30 work better? Amanda, is it?
I can do the 25th? Sorry, I'm in the wrong.
Both of them. I think.
January, both the 9th and the 25th. Both days.
Yeah, Thursdays is fine.
Okay. Three years. Okay, then I will.
I'll miss a previously scheduled.
So you probably want to vote on your.
This will be fun. We'll be happy.
I'm going to redo my motion here. I'll move that the CAPA meeting schedule be as follows: special meeting Tuesday, January 9th, 2024, at 5 o'clock p.m. Location to be announced. The regular meeting Thursday, January 25th, also at 5 p.m. Location to be announced.
So do I. So Bob Moore amended his motion. Bob Monroe seconded the amended motion. Any further discussion? Then let's do a vote on it. Amanda.
Aye.
Aye.
Rhea.
Aye.
Ashley.
Aye.
Aye.
Bob Monroe, aye, and Ross aye. Alley, aye, and Bob Moore, aye. So it passes unanimously.
I like these motions.
So then let's go on to the possible approval of the 2025 Auditor and Finance Committee budgets. Jill and I need to get those in. So let me go here. And now this is where we talk about the high finance of paying for ourselves. So last year we ran a little bit short and had to do a transfer. And so it looks like we're about $200 over budget. So we have increased our budget for 2023 to 2024. So the question is really, what do you want to do for 2024 to 25? Because I'm presuming there'll be some increases in payroll, which is our clerking, and probably in, you know, advertising. I'm less concerned about the office expenditures, you know, being an increase unless folks think otherwise.
So, Mr. Prim.
So my thought, and maybe, and I'm not sure this is how it's going to go, but because you're a committee that works with the two different Board of Ed and Selectmen, I'm thinking maybe we won't have as many meetings, or we won't need to have as many meetings as we have in the past, because it was, you know what I mean? I mean, you're all part of what created those individual budgets, and now you're getting together to do the final budget. I'm thinking maybe we won't need as many meetings, but I'm not positive.
I think the meetings are more driven, not so much by the presentations that people have to do, but by what goes on when we get to the referendum. And I'm thinking that's going to be a challenge this coming.
Until you get to that point, we had a lot of meetings before just to get to that point. I'm not sure that we're going to need as many because of the form of the finance committee now.
You may be more efficient.
Exactly.
The monthly meetings aren't really as what the core of it is, really the referendum. That's what the purpose of the two parties coming together, the two sides coming together to inform the referendum. I feel like all these monthly meetings isn't as
It's not big bucks. And what I would be more comfortable with are being, you know, having a couple $100 to give back to the town and wasting the time and effort to ask for transfers of $50 here, $25 there. You know, it's, so I think I would feel comfortable keeping the budget the same. I wouldn't want to reduce it. And, you know, and you might want to raise it slightly, but we're not talking big dollars here.
Yeah.
And it's not worth having a long discussion over it, because we're not going to make or break the town, and we'll save more money by avoiding transfers, you know, in time.
Yeah.
So can I recommend the increasing the payroll budget to $2,000, maintaining advertising is not going to be any cheaper.
No.
I would raise that.
Will probably go up.
I would raise that to $200, and our office operation, I'd keep that the same. That's my suggestion.
So increase payroll to $2,000 and the advertising to $200.
Yep.
Was that a motion or a suggestion?
Well, I'll make it a motion. Speed things along.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay. So Ashley seconded. No, I'm sorry. Amanda seconded Bob Moore's motion for 200, increased payroll to 2000 and advertising to $200, leave office operating expenditures the same at 500. And this is for fiscal year 24 to 25. Any further discussion? Seeing none, let's just go around again. Amanda.
Aye.
Rhea.
Aye.
Ashley.
Aye.
Bob. Aye. And Ross. Aye. And the other Bob.
Aye.
So the sequence of the Bobs doesn't matter as long as they both say the same thing.
I'll do the form and send it in to Jim's office tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome.
Then let's go on to the other one, which is a few more dollars than this one, which is the auditor, you know, budget. Amanda, you have a question.
I do. So we put out a bid, correct, for a new auditor?
We're about to put the bid out.
Oh, we never. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because remember, so we approved for the extension so that they would have time to do the bid and not.
We're going to put that out sometime in the month of January. Okay. So we should have time to adjust this based on the decision of the board before we finish our budget process. So my recommendation would be to keep it as it is at the moment. And, you know, ask the Board of Selectmen to adjust it when you make a decision.
And the good thing of having a set price like that
is it won't change.
They look at it. So instead of having a higher one out there, they say, oh, they got that much in there. We'll bid that. I mean, that's that happens. So I'll move that we maintain the budget in that auditing services category.
I'll second.
So Bob Mora made the motion to keep it at 45K. Amanda seconded it. Further discussion. Then go around again. Amanda.
Aye.
Rhea.
Aye.
Ashley.
Aye.
Bob.
Aye.
Ross. Aye.
Aye.
And the other Bob passes the unanimously. And then, Jill, we have a budget transfer that we need to approve.
Correct.
$125. Wow.
Yeah. Because it's out of budget.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's out of department. It's taken from another department and put it. So it's once it's out of department, you have to approve it.
I'll move the transfer in the public health budget of $125 from the senior budget category, other professional service, to category other contracts, PH.
Public health.
I'll second.
So Bob Mora made the motion. Amanda seconded it. Further discussion. Okay, let's go around again. I'll mix things up. Bob Mora.
Aye.
Bob Monroe.
Aye.
Ross. Aye. Ashley.
Aye.
Rhea.
Aye.
And Amanda.
Aye.
So the budget transfer passes unanimously.
Thank you.
And then let's just move on to the last item on the agenda, which was communications. Just I'll just read into the record, just for folks who weren't here, the memo that we put together at our last meeting of the finance. Actually, you know what? I don't know if I need to read it so much as this, ask if anybody has any questions about it. We were really just trying to make sure that anything that we noted as a, you know, as a, the finance board of finance get passed along as just suggestions, best practices, or considerations. So a lot of it was around just being fiscally responsible and keeping our communication open, look at the town's financial statements and audit documents annually to ensure town is in compliance. So dig a little bit deeper into that. And transparency kept coming up along with communications, and better to over communicate than to under communicate. And especially with the challenges we're going, I think that we're going to have around passing a budget next year. It's just good that we be open about what's going on. And again, we had to explore all sources of revenue, because the challenge that we saw that Bolton had was really one of revenue for what we want to do, particularly, you know, with the school systems being such a large part of the budget. It's really with a small town with not a lot of businesses, where do you get that money from? And some of the pockets that this all this money is coming from are getting stretched rather thin, and we've had the inflation and COVID and all that stuff. So again, it was more of just for all of us to be aware of that and have that, you know, in the record. So I don't know if there's any questions from the newbies on the team, you know, to those of us who are on the Board of Finance before about any of, you know, what's in here.
No, it's a good little outline. Thank you for putting it together.
Oh, thank Amanda. She's the one who will put it together. I tagged her with it at the last minute.
That happens a lot. I must have like a big...
You do. You're very good at doing presentations of this stuff.
Yeah.
So the only other thing that I will think that we should put on our special meeting that you brought up, Amanda, is let's have it on the agenda of how are we going to work, discussion on what, you know, how do we work together as a team when it comes to presentation of the new budget. So Jill, if you can think of putting that on there as a business or other or whatever for the special meeting.
Okay.
And for folks to keep that in mind, if you don't see it on the agenda because one of us forgot to make sure it gets there, let's have it on there because I think it's a very important topic because this is new grounds and it's supposed to make us more efficient. So let's see what we can do to make it more efficient.
One question?
Sure.
And last year, I believe all your meetings were both virtual and in person.
Yes.
The assumption is all our meetings will be virtual and in person, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that really is the policy of the Board of Selectmen is to have all of our meetings right that way.
But
for regulatory boards and commissioners.
So I just put it in the record.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I don't know if we finished Amanda's discussion about how are we going to deal with Board of Ed and Board of Selectmen budgets as a committee.
That's what I brought up to put on the agenda for the next time.
You're going to discuss it the next
time.
Although, do we have enough?
Just so you know, there is a state statute that budgets must be presented to you, the finance committee, by March 15th.
Okay.
So I think the question is the expectation that the whole board comes and presented, or is it the expectation that representatives on this committee do the presentation, or how do we want
Let's think about it and then we can talk about it. Because it's something it would be good to think about outside of here and then bring it back in and we can see, get that out of the way earlier rather than later.
Yep.
Rhea.
These details, these strategies or procedures outlined in the charter, or is it left for us to make?
For us.
I think we have to operationalize it.
They're more, the charter tells more of what to do and when, not how to do it.
Yeah. When you have to have it done. By.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, when you have to have it done.
Yeah. So good question. We definitely need that on the next agenda so we can start figuring out our SOPs, so to speak.
Yeah. Has anyone, could I just ask this question? It's Kristen Hecht, please. Has anyone looked at how, I believe this new setup was modeled after somebody else, another town. And if so, have we looked at, that's my understanding. And have we looked at how they do it?
Good question. We can take that out, offline and take a look at it. I know I have not, so I will only speak for myself, but I'm not seeing anybody else saying, yeah, I did that.
Nope.
So good question, because it's don't reinvent the wheel.
I have a couple suggestions, but I'll save it for the meeting.
Yep, because it's time to adjourn.
All right, and I'll also move.
Okay,
that
seconded.
That's quick.
So Bob made the motion and Bob seconded it. And we're out of here then.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Good night.
For the unofficial record, are you trying to save money by turning off the heat in here?
It's an automatic setback.